This is the American Fashion Podcast, the fashion industry's favorite show, our weekly look under the hood of the fashion business. Don't miss the show notes for links to books, videos, and brands mentioned in each episode, as well as a link to AmericanFashionPodcast.com, where you can find more information about the series, hosts, and how to be a guest. You'll also find a link to an archive of hundreds of episodes going back to 2014, which include interviews with top designers, insights for beginners on building a brand, sustainability tips, deep thoughts, and all kinds of amazing detail about how this industry functions in all the little niches from a broad range of leaders and experts.
This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith, here with Kathy Sheppes.
Hi, everyone.
And our guest in the studio is Simone Aptekman, who is the co-founder of Model Bill of Rights.
Hi.
Simone, you are working with Federico, who founded Pier 59 Studios and Industry Model Management on advancing protections for models. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yep. So we work together to create the Models Bill of Rights. This movement aims to enhance transparency for models in what to expect when doing business with their agencies. I believe this is something that's not taught to any model. Wasn't taught to me, that's for sure. I had to learn things firsthand and through trial and error. And I'm sort of out here trying to help models avoid making similar mistakes. The Models Bill of Rights is started off as a document that helps models read contracts, understand how payments work, basically understand their contractual obligations. But now it's extended to include safety in studios, as well as it's become a hotline where models can reach out to myself or Federico and gain this awareness and help if they're in a predicament. And I would say most models are in a financial predicament, and this is something that isn't really talked about. So I kind of am here to talk about that.
Okay. And I know a while back, maybe before industry model management was a thing, he kicked an agency out of Pier 59. He banned that agency from sending models to Pier 59 Studios for their mistreatment of the models. I mean, he stood up for this a couple of times.
Federico is very passionate about the safety of models. And in fact, he really helped me when I was experiencing financial duress with an agency. Correct. He banned an agency that was not paying their models because in shooting at the studio, that model would never receive that paycheck. And he wanted to not just say something, but do something. And I believe I admire how actionable Federico is, and I've strived to be that way. And the Models Bill of Rights really is a call to action. It started as just awareness, and now we're trying to actually implement change with other studios now in New York, as well as agencies.
So there are some new laws in New York State. Were you involved in making sure those went into place?
I was not involved. I'm very happy about that. What I refer to when I say studio safety is that there are 17 studios in New York. Only two of them are up to code.
You mean major photo studios?
Correct. Yeah. And up to code meaning, an analogy I use is, would you walk into an elevator if you knew it was out of service? Probably not. But when you walk into like 13 of these studios as a model, you don't know that it's not up to code. And it's not up to code for a reason, meaning there's some sort of hazard or there's some reason that the studio didn't want to be, you know, approved. They'd never applied to be a functioning working space. So this actually shocked me.
Because that would expose them to a Department of Buildings inspection.
Correct. And it's very expensive to be up to code. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. I personally know this because I come from a my family business. We're in manufacturing, so we have chemicals in Leominster, Massachusetts, and in order for us to be a functioning factory, we have to be up to code. And it's very expensive and it's a very arduous process, but I understand how these things work. So when I realized that, I was actually shocked that models are like sent to these places that are dangerous and they might not even know. And what that means in terms of the result is if a model were to get injured, she wouldn't be covered by insurance. So if a light fell on her, if she got burned, that's on her.
Oh, right. Because if the building isn't in compliance, they can't get insurance.
Correct.
Okay. So there's all these photography studios operating without valid insurance
correct.
For personal injury?
Yes.
That's insane.
So if the knowledge is there, why aren't they being reported to the building violations or whatever it is?
Well,
like are people afraid to report them?
I feel like these conversations are, it's going to culminate to that, but...
Well, we ran into this with the Garment Center. A lot of the buildings in the Garment Center are out of compliance with the building code, and they're not allowed to do major renovations to the building. They're not going to fall down, but they can't do anything because we've had this zoning issue with the Save the Garment Center and preserving the Garment Center, which we're losing very soon because a legal fight was lost. But you can have a perfectly functional building that just doesn't have sign off from the Department of Buildings, which prevents them from doing major renovations. So you can't really change the building.
Right.
You have to use the existing spaces.
And I believe that this is an imminent threat because the market is shifting where advertisement is not so much still photos anymore, but a lot of video. And so you don't have that cold camera flash. You have moving pictures, which is the same caliber and scale as a film set. It's just not treated as such in terms of the precautions that we're taking. And so the issue of like the lights being very hot or falling on someone are even more pertinent now because most people in these studios are shooting video. We're not really just doing just straight photography anymore.
Moving around a lot more.
Yeah, and if you actually walk around Soho, for instance, you'll see retail spaces that have, instead of a photo on their storefront, it's a video. When films are being shot, there's an ambulance outside. I've been on film sets. It's treated with a lot of precaution. And this is not the case for a modeling set.
Well, that comes from the motion picture unions and from the insurance requirements.
Correct, which is another thing that I have been sort of like baffled by is that a model does not have the same protections as an actress. A model, the rates are arbitrary. It's non-union. When you're an actress, there's the Screen Actors Guild. There's certain rates depending on the caliber of the project. And everything is like pretty straightforward. As a model, though, the rate that's given to you by your agent is very arbitrary. And another element that bothers me is that rate might not be the actual rate the client offered. So
right, so this is a transparency issue.
Correct. Yeah, it doesn't matter what angle you look at the modeling industry, it's just crooked and corrupt. I hate to say it, but it's the reality. And one thing I noticed about this podcast is that you guys use art and business in the same sentence and sort of where art and business meet. And I'm fascinated by that synergy. And I feel like that lacks so much in the modeling industry. And just with my background specifically, I went to business school in Boston. I got my MBA at Babson. So when I came into the modeling industry, while I had no experience as a model, all I could hold on to was my business acumen. So I started kind of poking holes at the industry and thinking, almost treating it like a case study, right? Like, this industry is flawed.
Is modeling an industry, or is it, it's part of other industries, but is it an industry on itself?
It's a profession.
Yeah. I mean, and that's an interesting point you bring up because I actually watched an interview with Cindy Crawford and Kaya Gerber the other day for Vogue, and Cindy was saying how when she was starting out doing catalog in Chicago, modeling wasn't considered or seen as a real job, right? We all know that this has changed significantly. The other day, Kylie Jenner sold the majority share of her cosmetics company for $600 million. She's now a billionaire model. Her sister, Kendall, gets $250,000 per post on Instagram. These sisters, they're models. I mean, this is a big business.
Well, they're promoters.
Well, yes, but I think Kendall is a model. She's a runway model.
Well, she's a model, but she doesn't get paid for her face. She gets paid because her face is already famous.
Yeah, that's
But part of why her face became famous was her modeling.
Yeah, but not most of it.
And a lot of people have that issue with the whole nepotism, and that's another whole thing with modeling. Yeah. But the regardless of that is that there's just so many models nowadays. It's not like this. There's less mystery about it. There's a lot of agencies. There's a lot of models. But there aren't the regulations in place needed to keep up with how this industry has grown. I feel like it's behind. And these conversations, I think, will force there to be some sort of actions taken.
So now, like with restaurants for health codes, you know, yeah. And they all get their grades A, B, and C. So
great
that's
point.
Up to each individual city, right, that sends out inspectors for that. So is that what – so now the Bill of Rights is for the safety, the personal safety and the physical safety
yeah.
of a model of models. So who – this Bill of Rights, like I need to understand who – has to sign on to it. Who has to be part of this? Like,
yeah,
if I'm a model and I'm going out, I want to, how do I know if an agency is supporting this Bill of Rights?
So Federico and I, we did an event at Pier 59 Studios. Actually, we've had a couple now, and we've invited every single agency, many models, photographers to come and learn more about it. We actually had like a big sign of the Bill of Rights. We asked people to sign it, and some people came up and signed it. I signed it, he signed it, and then a lot of other people signed it. But that's just kind of one element. But what's more actionable, I feel, is when you go to an agency and you're presented a contract, I want the agent to give the model's Bill of Rights with the contract. And I feel like that trust is not given, it's earned. And that agent is earning the trust because there's full transparency. Listen, this is what you deserve. These are your rights. That is an educational tool that I wish I had. Like when I was signing, I'm guilty. I didn't read my contract well. You know, I was so excited, elated that I was given the opportunity to be represented. I started out in New York pretty late. Like I finished grad school, so I wasn't a teenager, and it was hard for me to sign. So when I finally had the opportunity, I jumped on it, right? And I don't want other models to do that. And by charging agencies with this task, like hand this out, I think a model will read that because it's succinct, right? It's like 7 to 8 very direct points. And there will just be this like full disclosure in a sense.
So what's in the Bill of Rights? What are the rights that you're asking people to uphold?
So the first one is bilateral contract. So the contract is supporting both the agent and the model. Unfortunately, I've noticed that contracts are extremely predatory. For instance, like if you get into a lawsuit, you have to pay for your agency's legal fees.
I mean, that's most employment contracts, really.
Yeah.
Once you don't realize it when you sign it, and then it's like, whoa.
Yeah, well, I realized that, and I was like, wow. But then in terms of payments, like it says in most contracts, they have to pay within 60 days. But they don't hold themselves to that. So when it's been 250 days, the agency's in breach. But they don't believe that. So there's elements to do with that. Studio safety is a big part of it, that your agency won't send you to a studio that's not up to code. Visas, that's another big issue. I don't fall into this category because I'm from Massachusetts, but a lot of models, especially in New York, are from other countries. So you come here on what's called an O-1 visa, and your agency sponsors it. But what the agency says is that if you at all, like, try to leave, they'll cancel your visa. You'll be sent back to your country. That's not true. They're just sponsoring it. It's transferable. So if you went to another agency, they would apply and just become, like, the basically parent of that visa now. So that's a whole element that I feel like models don't know. And so they're fear-mongered. It's like, if you leave, we'll deport you. And I know this because I've seen it.
Teenagers can be demanding. So I understand from the agency's perspective why they would want to keep the models a little bit in check. But yeah, it's been extreme.
I hear you and I agree. But when something gets abused, like, I feel like that's wrong. It's like, yeah, an abuse of power. I've experienced it firsthand where I'm basically held hostage to a contract. When I felt that my first agency in New York, that they violated the contract when they didn't pay me for 275 days. I mean, think about it. When you're living in New York and you haven't gotten paid in 275 days, you're very vulnerable. Like, that just exposes you to so many other issues as a model, as a human, right? Yeah. If you're not getting your paycheck. And then when you finally get your paycheck, the attitude is, great news, you're getting paid. And I just find that to be incredibly insulting.
And that was happening frequently, you think? Or it's happening, like, often?
Oh, I think this happens to the majority of models. And like I said, the Models Bill of Rights is sort of transforming into a hotline. About 3 to 5 models a week reach out to me in some way, any way they can find me online, and they are sort of sharing their grievances, and there's all the same themes. Like, everything that I've sort of outlined in terms of late payments, no payments at all, hidden fees, like you said, like the kind of saying this is the rate, but it was actually something else. They're all experiencing that. And it's not an issue that's going to go away, unfortunately. It's very disheartening. And I try to help these models, but unfortunately, like, there's not that much that can be done unless there's actionable change on the agency level.
Okay. So, beyond that, are there other big issues that are still pressing on this?
Payments is probably one of the biggest ones. Studio safety is big. In general, I think the biggest theme is transparency and education. Like, nothing prepares you to be a model. It seems very glamorous when you just see the final product on that Instagram post, right? But it's a hard job. I truly think so. I come from a very different background, so, like, I've done totally different types of work in the past, and I think modeling is very difficult. Like, one of the hardest jobs I've done, and
what makes it difficult? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of stress factors because you don't know when you're going to have a job and that sort of thing.
It's also just a lot of rejection. And I know that sounds like kind of like, oh, boohoo. But no, it really is. Like, you go out to many, many castings, you travel a lot, and there's no guarantee that anything's going to happen. There's no guarantees in life, but I think in terms of self-image and self-confidence as a young girl, I think that's tolling. And I think that weighs on you, especially many, many girls or men, women or men, forgo education opportunities to come into this career because you have to start pretty young. And then if it doesn't take off, you might have doubts, right? So you didn't get to have an education younger. So I just feel like there's a lot of sacrifices. And that's for every career. But I just find that with this career, it's pretty, it's just very real.
I think also it's rejection. How is that rejection delivered? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, is it respectful or are you walking out feeling like, you know,
mortified,
exactly. But yeah. As you were just talking about age, do you find that that is opening up and changing, that everyone isn't necessarily looking for someone who's under 20 years old?
Yeah, and we all know that they changed the law about being 18 and walking in shows and doing campaigns. And I think in general, like the idea of who a model is totally changed, and there's more inclusion, and I think that's very good. But that just kind of echoes to my previous point. There's just more models now. And I just don't think that there is, like you said earlier, is it an industry? I mean, I think it is before it even kind of can catch up in a way. And to have like a well-oiled machine, like any business or industry, you need to regulate and you need to have certain rules and expectations and disclosure, trust, honesty. And I find that a lot of that lacks.
So are you working with agencies then in terms of adopting this Bill of Rights? And if so, what's the onboarding like? What's the response been?
We're starting to reach out to agencies. For instance, I've reached out to the ones that represent me, and I'm talking about this, telling them about this, and sending the bill over and hoping that it's being transmitted. But I think on the level of empowering a model too, nowadays we can reach people so much easier by, for instance, posting this bill, like posting the elements of it, having models read about it, and the education piece of it is huge. Like, I think a lot of models are obviously scared to speak up because of the visa issues. In general, just losing that contract, it's very hard to get signed in New York, but I think people are feeling more empowered because of these conversations.
Have you had pushback about the agencies being concerned on legal liability of signing something like that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's interesting.
But if they sign it, they are legally bound, right? I mean,
signing it, or are they just handing it out?
Would the Bill of Rights become part of what they hand out to a model for a contract? Is that what you're trying?
That's what the goal is. Because
yeah. So, have you talked to a lawyer about what implication this might have for them?
I haven't, but I think that would be a really good next step. I think like when it's just like a piece of clarification in a sense. Contracts, as you both know, can be the boilerplate. I studied contract law, and so I actually like fascinated by contracts, but there can be so much in there and hidden, and this language that isn't very straightforward, whereas the model's Bill of Rights is just a two-pager, and it's like very specific.
Well, now it is. as it gets more and more adopted, it'll be like 50
pages. That's true. That's true.
And with all the legal language going in.
Well, exactly. Once it's presented to a lawyer, but we'll try to make the language pretty user-friendly.
Okay. So is there a website or Instagram people should be following to learn more about this?
Yes. So the website is themodelsbillofrights.com.
Models with an S?
Yes. Okay. And then my personal website, simoneoftekman.com, has a whole section devoted to the Models Bill of Rights that has each element and a way to contact me if you want to share your story. There's an Instagram, Models Bill of Rights, my personal Instagram as well, which is my full name. That's how currently a lot of models and young women have been reaching out to me about their experiences, and I've documented them, and a lot of them are shocking. And I wish these women would come forward, but again, it's very scary to be honest sometimes about what's going on because of the ripple effect of that. Like what could happen by by sharing their stories. I mean, as we know with the Me Too movement, it took some women many years to gain the courage and like feel like it was the right time to share their story. But I think that we collectively are just becoming more vocal, and that makes me really excited.
Thank you for listening to American Fashion Podcast. On our website, AmericanFashionPodcast.com, you can find our Be a Guest form, as well as a sign-up page for invitations to our live shows, and a new feature, The Archives. With roughly 250 episodes published, the old shows don't fit in our feed anymore, so we've made them available for a nominal fee. Please continue the conversation online. On Twitter, we are at AFPOD, and on Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show. And I personally am at Fashion Tech Guru on just about everything. For direct comments, give us a call at 646-979-8709. That's our voicemail line. Or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and all other episodes, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. Remain in force. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Mouth Media Network, audio for business.